This special Father's Day episode of the Film and Water podcast is sponsored in part by InStockTrades.com. InStockTrades is your best online source for trades, hardcovers, and other collected editions, all for up to 45% off with free shipping for orders of $50 or more. Two of the deals that you can find on InStockTrades.com right now are Fade Out Volume 1 by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. Breaker and Phillips' newest hit series, The Fade Out, is an epic noir set in the world of noir itself, the backlots and bars of Hollywood at the end of its golden era. A movie stuck in endless reshoots, a writer damaged from the war and lost in the bottle, a dead movie star, and the lookalike hired to replace her. Nothing is what it seems in the place where only lies are true. The Fade Out is Brubaker and Phillips' most ambitious project yet. It's from Image, 120 pages, normal price $9.99, in-stock trades price is only $5.79. That is 42% off. It's part of their Criminal series, and if you ever read any of those Criminals books, you know how fun these Brubaker Phillips collaborations are. And like I said, this one is set in the golden age of Hollywood, so give it a read. It's called The Fade Out. And the second selection is not a comic book, but a poster book. It's called It's Alive, Classic Horror and Sci-Fi Movie Posters Hardcover. And it's classic horror and sci-fi movie posters from the Kirk Hammett Collection, one of the world's premier collections of horror and sci-fi movie posters amassed, not altogether surprisingly, by the dark mind of Metallica's lead guitarist Kirk Hammett. Before Kirk Hammett assumed the heavy metal mantle of one of the most successful and beloved bands in rock history, he was a geek for the imaginative universe of horror. This generously illustrated book highlights the finest examples from Hammett's personal collection, an astonishing trove of horror and sci-fi film posters that span the history of the genre. In this volume, several intriguing essays cover the history of the film poster, the brain's response to fear, and Hammett's own contributions to the world of the macabre. Normal price is $30. In stock trades price is only $15. That is 50% off. I've seen this book. It's amazing. Kirk Hammett's collection of movie poster memorabilia is just out of this world, as you might imagine. And this is an incredibly fun book for anyone who's a fan of classic movies, horror genre, or just sort of graphic design and classic movie art. They're absolutely both beautiful books. So for this and The Fade Out and all your other trade paperback needs, visit InStockTrades.com. And we thank them for their support.
Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
Hey everyone, welcome to a special Father's Day episode of the Film and Water Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Kelly. The show is, of course, a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. This is Sunday. It's Father's Day, and I'm doing something that has been requested on the show for a long time, and that is to have my dad on the show. Of course, my mom was on the show many episodes back talking about her less-than-thrilled reaction to seeing Star Wars, and people have asked about having my dad on. I've mentioned my dad a bunch of times on the show about some of the movies he took me to see and stuff like that, and so I thought it would be fun to have him on the show, talk about his recollections of seeing movies as a kid in like the 30s and 40s and when he was in the service, and then in the 70s and 80s when he took me and my sister to see movies, which was some of the most formative experiences of my life. So we hope you enjoy this conversation, brief conversation I had with my dad about him and me and movies and seeing movies together. Before we start, I just want to give you a little bit of a roll call of all the players. I'm going to mention a couple of people in this conversation, and we don't stop to get into who they are because, of course, my dad and I know who they are. And so just wanted to give you a heads up. The people we talk about, we mention, of course, his parents, my grandparents, our Uncle Fred, which is my father's uncle, my great uncle, who I loved dearly, lived to be 95 years old, and we had a lot of adventures. And we mentioned Barry and Bob. Barry and Bob are my father's brothers. Bob passed away in the 60s. He is the one I am named for. I unfortunately never got to meet him, but those are my dad's brothers. And, of course, we mentioned my sister Susan, and the three of us saw a lot of movies together. So those are all the players you need to know to listen to this conversation. So, again, I hope you enjoy it. It was just a fun, brief little talk with my dad talking about movies, so I'll catch you on the other side. What do you remember about seeing movies as a kid? Because, I mean, you saw movies like in the late 30s, right?
Yeah, I don't remember when, but I do remember the first movie I ever saw. My parents took me to see Dawn Patrol.
Errol Flynn, right? Errol Flynn? I think it's Errol Flynn.
I think it's Errol Flynn, right? Yeah. But that's the first movie that I recall ever seeing.
And that was 1939, I think, so you would have been 6 years old.
I guess so.
That's young to take a six-year-old to a war movie, I guess.
Saw guys getting shot down.
Yeah.
All that stuff, yeah.
Did grandma take you to movies a lot? Or did you see it a lot? Did you see movies with Barry and Bob, or did it depend, or what?
I don't recall seeing movies with Barry and Bob. I guess I must have, but I simply don't recall it. The only movie I recall, well, two movies, was Dawn Patrol, and then I believe my parents took me to see The Wizard of Oz.
And again, 1939, okay.
And I really don't have any recollection of them taking me to any other movie.
Really? Okay.
I saw lots of movies when I got to be about 12 or so. I could take the trolley to Burholm and go to the movie there.
How far away was that from where you guys were?
I don't know, 3 or 4 miles, something.
Did you
like
go
that.
By yourself? When you were taking the trolley?
Sometimes I did. Sometimes I would go with a friend.
What did you do? You remember what you would see? Like, what was it like seeing movies back then? I mean, could you? I mean, I know that like it wasn't. You could stay all day if you wanted to, right? I mean, did you ever do stuff like that?
Never stayed all day that I can recall. I think you probably could, but I don't remember necessarily what time they started. I'm trying to remember. I really don't remember the movies I saw. But the trolley then cost about, believe it or not, 8 cents. And we would go into Burholm, and I would meet my buddies, and then later on I'd go with them with a car and all. But I don't remember too much what many of the movies were. There were a lot of double features then.
Sure, right. It was A and B movies, the big movie. I mean, did you remember, did they have the movie serials and the newsreels and that all that stuff?
Oh, I remember serials. Yeah, I remember both of those things. Okay. I remember the serials and I remember the newsreels.
Okay, all right. Did you get the money from your parents to go to this? I mean, you didn't.
I probably did, although at some point in time, I don't remember at what age, I got a meager allowance.
Right.
But the movies didn't cost much.
Right.
And the trolley didn't cost much, so I was able to go. Or maybe they gave me the money. And I'm certain that Uncle Fred must have taken me to some movies, but I simply don't recall what any of them were.
Uncle Fred, that's definitely something Uncle Fred probably would have done.
No, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
You told me you remember seeing King Kong, right, at some point?
Oh, I do. Now that you mention it, I saw King Kong.
Now, King Kong came out the year you were born, so you didn't see it then, but it was re-released in 1939.
Well, that's got to be.
And that's got to be when you saw it. And that's what, it was this huge hit when it was re-released.
Because
they re-released it with Dracula and Frankenstein. And that started this whole thing of horror movies again. So that's probably when you saw it.
Saw Frankenstein, too. Yeah. I don't recall Dracula, but I probably saw Frankenstein.
Was it something you liked to do a lot, or was it like mixed in with all the other stuff that you liked to do?
No, I liked to do that. I wasn't a big thing of my existence.
Right.
We played ball a lot and all that, but it was something I liked to do. And again, there was no television.
Right.
So, you know, if you're going to do entertainment, other than playing yourself or playing ball, that was all there was.
Did you listen to the radio a lot?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was a radio. Sure.
I did listen to the radio, and they did serials then.
Right.
And I listened to a lot of serials.
Okay. When you got to the service, when you were in the Navy, did you see movies with your buddies in the Philippines and stuff? Not the Philippines, Manila. Right? You're in Manila?
No.
Where were you?
I was in Europe. I was in Malta.
Malta. That's what I was thinking. Malta.
And French Morocco.
Okay.
And yes, they showed us movies. But believe it or not, the only movie that I have any recollection of seeing in a service was The Robe. I remember seeing The Robe.
Okay.
I know I saw a lot more than that, but that's the only one that sticks in my mind.
Right. Do you remember, was it subtitled? Or did you remember, like, was it in English? And they
The Robe was English, I'm pretty sure.
Right, but I mean, was the movie, because what did they speak in Malta? Did they speak English
in Malta? Oh, you're asking me if I saw any movies in Malta.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, really?
No.
You guys were busy doing Navy stuff?
They didn't have. If you were stationed on a big Navy base, then there'd be movies there.
Oh, at the base?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But when we were on Malta, it was simply our squadron.
Okay.
And this was like enough crew to fly 12 planes and maintain the planes. So I don't remember how many were in our squadron, but it wasn't big enough that they're going to build a movie for us or anything of that nature.
So you had to just go do it on your own if you did it, but you didn't.
Yeah, and I didn't. I don't remember it. I mean, must have had a movie in town, but I never went to
the movie in town.
I went into town, but not...
But we were guys getting into other sorts of trouble. So, okay. Yeah, because, like, you know, nowadays you can't stay all day and stuff like that. Like, it's not, you just see the one movie and then you're out, and it's a very different set of experiences. I feel like, I mean, if you were seeing as a kid two movies back to back, they were shorter then, but, and then a movie serial and a newsreel and a cartoon, I mean, that's like 3-4 hours worth of,
that's
a whole afternoon, and nobody does that now. You know what I mean? They don't do that.
For one thing, there's television now.
Right.
And baseball is televised.
Right. You didn't. Right. You guys didn't have that.
It wasn't then.
Right.
And frankly, the only I'm sure I must have seen a lot of movies over the period of time I was in the Navy. I only remember one, and I remember it for a particular reason. We had to go to Chicago because there was a hurricane coming up the coast, and there weren't enough hangar space for all 12 of our airplanes.
Okay.
And so some of the airplanes would get flown out of the way of the hurricane coming. And I had to do about 4 of those. And we went to Chicago one night, and we went into Chicago, and we missed the last bus back to the base, and we couldn't possibly afford a hotel, so we went to an all-night movie. So, and saw the same movie over and over again, and it was I believe it was the Bachelor and the Bobby Sox. It was Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie Reynolds, right?
And
you saw that over and over. It was open in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
like 3 a.m.
Yeah, it was all night. And if you fell asleep at some point, some usher would wake you up because you weren't supposed to sleep.
It's not for transients or something like
that. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
So they just reran it and you just watched it again?
That's my recollection.
Oh my God. Of all the movies for you, a bunch of service men to have to go see at the bathroom.
Probably at some point didn't pay a great deal of attention.
No, I guess not.
And I'm certain I dozed off, but then poked.
I love that. That's fantastic. I didn't know that. It's too bad it wasn't like a Navy movie or some action movie you guys would have really dug into.
If they showed movies on a Navy base, like when I was in the States, they would be regular movies that everybody else would see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Where were you when you were in the Navy? Where were you when you were in America? You talked to me about being in Malta, but where were you when you were actually stationed here?
I did boot camp in Bainbridge, Maryland.
Okay.
Then I went to Florida for airman's school for 2 months.
Okay.
Probably saw a movie in Florida, but don't remember it. Right. It's in Jacksonville.
Okay.
Okay. And then I went from there to Memphis, Tennessee.
Wow.
Where I went to aviation electronics school.
Right.
And that was, incidentally, right about the time Elvis was becoming known and popular.
Right.
I was in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, wow. You never told me that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, and certainly I saw movies there, but I just don't remember what any of them were.
Wow.
And then I went from there to my first squadron assignment, which was Patuxent River, Maryland.
So back to Maryland.
Back to Maryland. And then from Maryland, the first place I left, we went on a 6-month deployment to Argentia, Newfoundland. And I had no question in my mind that they had movies for us there also.
Right,
but again, I don't remember any of them. And then I came back to Maryland. And then we went to Malta. And then when we came back from Malta, we moved to Patuxent River.
Okay.
And then I was in Patuxent River. Well, no, that's wrong. I was in Patuxent River, and then we moved to Chincoteague, Virginia. The squadron moved to Chincoteague.
Okay, so it was all the same guys going from place to place to place?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't always the same guys, because guys were getting discharged. They didn't all come into the squadron at the same time.
Okay. All right. I never knew any of that, like that you went around. I know you were in Malta, but I didn't know that it was from place to place, in the United States. You spent that much time in the Navy in the States.
Yeah, well, Malta was memorable because I liked it so much.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, then let's. I'm going to jump ahead to the other thing. Then this is something I mention on the show a lot because it comes up a lot. Is when you would take me and Susan to go see movies.
Yes.
Because that is where I saw, like, you know, that's where I saw everything that was memorable as a child.
Okay.
I mean, you took me to all the Star Wars movies, and we saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, and all the James Bond movies, and the Star Trek movies. I mean, pretty much every cool thing that a kid would want to see at that age, you took me to.
I think that was before Star Wars.
No, it was absolutely, Star Wars was 77, and 80 and 83.
Okay.
I remember you and me and Susan seeing Empire Strikes Back because I remember the big lines of people in the lobby and all that stuff. So I remember all that.
Okay, because I don't think I saw Star Wars with you, though. I don't remember.
Star Wars was re-released in 1979, and you absolutely took me to that.
Okay.
Because, and this is how I remember it, because when they re-released Star Wars in 1979... they marketed it with, you're also going to see a clip of the new movie. That was their big thing. And I remember, they showed the clip at the end of the movie, which is weird, but they did. And I remember they show a scene of in the Cloud City with Darth Vader and Han Solo. And I remembered, like, levitating in my chair. I was so excited because, you know, this is 1979. This is, you know, there's no internet. There's no nothing. I didn't know anything about there was... I knew there was another movie, but that's all I knew. And this was the first chance to see... And I still remember that moment of just being so ecstatic that I was seeing new Star Wars. And it was just so exciting. I remember you took us to see a bunch of James Bond movies. And again, I remember seeing Raiders. We saw High Road to China, which was like the Raiders of the Lost Ark knockoff. You took me to Conan the Barbarian, even though that movie was probably... I think that movie's rated R.
Yeah, I remember one scene in it where
right.
It must have been.
Well, that's the funny thing. It's like, how did you? Because this is pre-internet. There's no like, how did you? Did you and Susan just sort of decide what you wanted to see? I mean, how did you know what to?
I don't remember how we decided that.
Because it's like, okay, do you remember? And this is another thing that I distinctly remember. And you know, your childhood can play tricks on you. Do you remember having to bargain with me to go see Kramer versus Kramer? Do you remember that?
No.
Okay. This is what happened. This was at the Neshaminy Mall. All right? You remember the Neshaminy Mall, right? Okay.
Certainly.
You, me, and Susan were going to go see a Disney movie, and it was sold out or something. I think it was probably sold out. Like, what was like the re-release of 101 Dalmatians or something or whatever. And it was sold out, and we were like, well, we wanted to see something because that's what we were going to do that week. And Kramer versus Kramer was playing, and Susan wanted to see it. And I guess you were okay with seeing it, and you were kind of like, you know, is my 9-year-old going to be able to sit through this drama about divorce?
Yeah.
And you made a bargain with me, and you said, if I buy you a bunch of comic books, will you go see Kramer versus Kramer? Because right, like, across the mall was, like, the Woolworths, and they had a bunch of comic books.
Oh,
and I was
right.
Like, yeah, sure, that's a deal. And so we went, and I sat through Kramer versus Kramer. And the funny thing is, there's, like, a pretty big nude scene in that movie. And I remember, like, thinking as a 9-year-old, I must have just been like...
I don't recall that
like,
at all.
As a 9-year-old, I'm sure I had no idea what I was looking at.
Geez.
But I was just... I probably knew I wasn't supposed to. I was just kind of like, all right, well, you know, whatever. But I remember that. And I also remember we went to see Fiddler on the Roof. Do you remember that? They re-released Fiddler on the Roof.
No, I don't remember. I mean, I remember, of course, seeing Fiddler on the Roof. But I don't remember taking you
I went to... So, I remember seeing all that stuff. I mean, again, I'm trying to picture like a 9-year-old me sitting through a 3-hour musical about the Jewish homeland or whatever. But so you and Susan just sort of, you know, I probably consulted the newspaper.
We're
like, okay, all right. But like I said, that's where I really saw all the really cool stuff at my age. That was my generation was seeing all those things. And that was the stuff I did with you and Susan because, you know, sometimes we would visit Uncle Fred or sometimes go miniature golfing or whatever. But, you know, we pretty much saw every big thing there was really to see. I know I mentioned to you just a couple weeks ago that I got to tell Richard Donner, who directed The Omen, that you took me to see The Omen at 5 years old because you couldn't get a babysitter, which is just the most bizarre thing in the world to me. Because like, I can't picture you guys caring that much about seeing a movie that you would have been like, let's drag the five-year-old to see The Omen, for Pete's sakes. But I guess you did. Yeah, but those were really fun because it was just, again, I saw every cool thing. And anytime a movie from that era comes up that it seems like something I would have seen and I didn't see it with you and Susan, I always assume it must have come and gone so quickly. Like, just the other day, I was talking about there was a 1981 Lone Ranger movie that we never went to. And I'm like, okay. I probably would have wanted to see that when I was 10, and it must have just been out of the theater so fast we never got around to it or something. So, well, as I said, those are the big things that I remember about. And those were, this was pre-cable. All this was pre-cable. I saw a lot of stuff once we got cable in like the mid-80s or whatever it was, 84. We got Prism, the channel and stuff. But the last thing I wanted to mention to you about movies is, and I'm sure you're not going to remember this because this was probably not significant to you at all, but it ended up being to me. When I was like 15 or 16, I was upstairs in my room, and that was back when I had a TV in my room, and you came upstairs and you said, there's this movie coming on PBS, and it's great, and you should watch it. And I put PBS on, and it was starting right at the beginning, and it was Stalag 17. And the opening of Stalag 17, of course, and I see that it's in black and white. And I'm 15, and I'm like, I don't want to see the black and white. I don't want to see that. And you were like, just trust me, it's great. And I was kind of like grumbled and rolled my eyes, like, I got to watch this old movie, all right, whatever. So I watched, and I think I probably got 20 minutes into Stalag 17, and I went, holy crap, this movie is great. I mean, it's just gripping. I, you know, just was so caught up in it. And it's one of my favorite movies of this day.
That is a really
it's a classic.
Movie,
right. But I would not have, like, movies for you have never been anything, I guess anything will never more than just sort of entertainment. You're really not, like, it's not a big part of your life the way, right. Like, you engage with, like, Irish culture and other things that you are really into. But had you not told me that, I don't know if I would have been as big into movies as I became, because that taught me, watching Stalag 17, that any movie could be really good. You know, because at 15, I'm like, no, Star Wars, Superman, Indiana Jones, that's the really good stuff. And you're like, no, there's a million other great movies. And I, after that moment, I really remember at that moment, I became open to any kind of movie you could possibly want to watch. Because, wow, if this old black and white thing can be this good, then anything must be good. And then, of course, you know, I went to art school. When I come back, I worked for the video store. And then I watched everything that I could get my hands on, because I realized that, you know, any kind of movie could potentially be good. So I always find it sort of funny that despite the fact that you and Mom, neither one of you are particularly, like, big movie people, you sort of introduced me to them, and then you kind of, like, stepped back a little, and then it was up to me to engage with them or not, and I did, because, you know, I wouldn't be here doing the show if I wasn't as into things as I am. So I have to thank you for that little moment, because Stalag 17 is just, like, that was the starting point.
You mentioned Stalag 17. I mean, of course, I remember it well, and I remember what it was about, but there's only one specific scene that I remember.
Which scene is that?
When William Holden unties the light bulb.
Yes. Oh, and he knots the thing. Yeah, and that's the.
How they catch him.
He realizes that that's the symbol to the Nazis, that there's a secret message, and he figures that. Yeah, it's a. We haven't covered it on our show yet, or my show yet, but I want to get to it because it is one of the great movies of all time. But it's a big deal. Like, young people at a certain age are just like, oh, I don't want to see anything pre this because that's old, and I'm not interested in anything old. But then, If you have somebody introduce you to something and it's really good, then it really blows your mind. And Stalag 17 did that for me.
I don't recall who the actual traitor was in that movie.
I don't want to. Well, we'll spoil it for everybody. Peter Graves. Peter Graves, is, right. Because he's security. He's the one who's always And it turns out his real name.
And they all were blaming Holden.
They're all blaming William Holden.
And Holden's the one that figured out.
Yes, they beat him up and stuff because they're all like, you think he's the Sefton. They think he's the traitor. So, well, all right. I think that's going to do it. Okay. Really. Like I said, Mom's been on the show, and people loved Mom talking about how much he hated Superman 4. And so people wanted to hear from you, and I thought for Father's Day it would be appropriate. So, like I said, I just want to say thank you very much for introducing movies to me, because it was it's been a big part of my life, and I wouldn't be this way if you hadn't done it. So thank you.
When you do this cast, will Ace watch it?
We listen to it. There's no, thankfully, no audio. I'm sure he'll be listening.
I'll get a comment.
I'm sure you'll get a comment. Okay. Yes, he loves interacting with you and getting me in trouble. So, anyway, that's going to do it. Thanks, everybody. Okay. Thank you, Dad. I appreciate it. And thanks, everybody. Happy Father's Day, everybody. And go see some more movies. All right, bye.
And that was me and my dad talking movies. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. I know I did. It was a lot of fun getting to go down memory lane with him and hear about some stuff. I didn't know about some of the stuff about his time in the service and things like that. One thing I wanted to point out, he texted me right after we finished our conversation to point out that the movie he mentioned, Seeing All Night, when he was with his service buddies, which he recalled as The Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer, is not correct. It was actually Tammy and the Bachelor. So that's a very important detail we wanted to follow up on, that it's not Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer. It was Tammy and the Bachelor was the movie that my dad in his Navy garb had to stay up all night watching. So I hope you enjoyed this conversation. I had a lot of fun talking to my dad about movies. And so I guess that's going to do it for this special Father's Day Film and Water. All you dads out there, have a happy Father's Day, and we will see you next Wednesday for a regular episode of Film and Water Podcast. And until then, that's a wrap.
What do you know? The crud did it.
I'd like to know what made him do it.
Maybe he just wanted to steal our wire cutters. You ever think of that?